Welcome to the Romance and Finance Podcast.
Hey, I'm your love.
And I am Mr. Bradford.
Welcome to the Romance and Finance Podcast, where we'll be connecting two hearts, $1 at a time.
Yes, yes. Join us on our weekly guide in getting paid and getting laid. We will connect the differences between your love life and your financial life. We'll bring them together, and hopefully we'll provide you with a lot of perspective and insight that will help you navigate between the two.
Let's kick it off.
If you want me for the money, we'll be rich forever. Dinner reservations every day. Conversations over nothing, pulling us together. When our glasses of champagne evaporate. Love without romance will never be enough to hold you over and again. So let us not pretend.
Everything around me, cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all. Cash rules, everything around me, cream, get the money. Dollar bills, y'all.
Yes. On this podcast, we're going to be talking about topics like credit, dating advice, traveling, stability.
Mm-hmm. Marriage. I think that that's a huge one. That should be the overall goal. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, that is one of your life goals. And we will be talking a lot about that as well.
We thought this podcast was extremely important to produce because everybody dates and money obviously rules everything. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to bring forth both the topics to the public first and forefront so that we can tackle it head on together, as well as share some of our trials and tribulations through it as well, and make sure that all of us are getting through it
together.
One day at a time.
Right, exactly. So make sure you tune in every Monday. We will be dropping a new episode for you. We want to help you get your week started off right. Hopefully, if we can start to establish goals on Monday, it will help you be in a better position by Friday.
Yes. So with every week, some things that you can expect out of the podcast, as we said, we're going to have those accountability checks. So we'll give you your weekly goals, something to work towards for the next week, so that we can together be working on things. I think it's really important for us to make sure that we have a goal and that we are moving forward every day, making sure we're taking steps towards that goal. So that's what we're going to do. We're also going to have some interviews with some professionals along the way to kind of give us their insight outside of our opinions and the things that we've learned.
Right. Definitely going to try to get more couples as well, so you guys can get a different perspective and not just ours, because it's not as important for you guys to think like us, but we want to provide a good variety of perspective for you guys so you can make your own decisions on how you want to handle your love life and your finances.
Mm-hmm. So the first topic, right, that we want to talk about, mm-hmm. We're going to talk about credit. This is a huge one. That's why we had to make it our first episode.
Right.
Everybody has credit. So let's jump right in.
Yes, definitely. Definitely have credit. Whether it's good or bad is on you. So for episode one, credit boost, relationship spruce. Today's Today we're going to talk about finance and romance, how to fix your credit and spruce up your love life at the same time.
At the same damn time. Okay.
So we're going to get into, first we're going to get into getting into a relationship or a marriage with financial baggage. Then we're going to talk about establishing goals and boundaries, basically who's responsible for what in the relationship or marriage, and finally a budget and how to budget, different methods like savings accounts, CDs, and always the envelope method. So for our first topic, going into a relationship or marriage with financial baggage, I actually have a few stats that I was reading up on from businessinsider.com. And they may surprise you, they may not. So first one, 50% of divorces are due to disagreements over money. I don't find that hard to believe. Maybe we'll dig a little bit deeper into that one at a later date. The second one, in another survey, 87% of men and 80% of women responded that they would stay in a relationship in which their partner has substantial financial difficulties like credit card debt or had previously filed bankruptcy. The third statistic from another survey is that 91% of Americans agree that it's important to discuss their financial history before marriage, but also that 25% of those same people admit that they tend to avoid talking about finances. And here's a good one that we can speak to, because we've been discussing this actually, is that 31% of those who combine finances with their partner admitted to lying to their spouse about money.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, in my opinion, is definitely not a good move, not a good way to go. I feel like, you know, you should be all in or all out. If you're going to lie about it, then maybe you don't feel comfortable doing that in the first place, which is another discussion.
I want to jump into one of these stats that you said. Let me see. You were talking about...
That's where it started.
I know. You said that 87% of men and 80% of women responded that they would stay in a relationship in which their partner had substantial credit card debt or filed for bankruptcy. That's kind of jumping into our first talking about financial baggage.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do you think those people stay because of obligation, because they're already in love, or do someone have to put up with that because you came into the situation with already on the verge of going bankrupt? Let's talk about that.
Well, first of all, I think that there are a lot of people who don't even understand what the terms of a bankruptcy are, or you know, how big of a bag it actually would be, or small. And so I was actually surprised when I read that statistic, because especially nowadays in pop culture or popular culture, everybody is always chasing a bag, or everybody is always talking about having their finances in order. And it surprised me that people who were entering in committed, solid relationships had a different opinion, that they would definitely stick with their partner through those kind of hardships, which, you know, really kind of inspires me that there is hope, because as long as people are willing to confront those issues and take the necessary steps to fix what they have going on, there's no reason to possibly lose the love of your life over it?
I think it first starts with actually bringing it up in discussion, realizing you and your partner realizing how important finance is to each one of you. It might be different. Maybe you guys don't agree that finance is a priority, and that's something that you guys have to kind of set in stone. Like, this is important to me. I'm not saying just jump out the gate, hey, what's your credit score? But I think it is important for you to know, like, hey, I mean, I'm in a whole bunch of debt. And obviously, you can really kind of tell with, like, maybe the type of date that you guys are going on, little triggers that you might see here and there when you guys are in the dating phase of, hey, this guy might not have his finances, or this girl might not have her finances in order. I mean, sometimes it's a clear indication that things are always good on the financial front.
Hey, look, if I was single right now, I definitely would have my lady friend stored under credit score numbers. Like, yo, I call you back, man. See, 720 calling me right now, you know.
But I think if you do have these set in stone, knowing how important it is to each one of you and talking about those financial goals in the beginning, I think when you guys actually enter into marriage or get more serious into the dating thing, you guys can kind of work on it. Well, obviously work on it individually as well as together to kind of have a common goal as far as what you want to do financially. If somebody's trying to buy a house and somebody's trying to buy a car, it's not saying that you both can't work on both of those. But together, there's obviously powers in numbers and ideas when you guys are together. I don't think it's fair to one person to be in a relationship not knowing that this person is financially unstable. Actually, I don't think anybody should be in a relationship if you're financially unstable. That's me. What you think?
Right. Well, yeah, I think that the time to take hold of your financial situation is when you're single. I think that you can enter the dating world with a much clearer mind if you're not worried about financial issues, or if you're not dating someone out of necessity. I think that you'll be better off actually in that relationship if you take care of what you need to take care of, or at least begin taking care of what you need to take care of before you enter that relationship. I got a question for you. Perspective wise. So out of those 87% of men and 80% of women, do you think that it's possible that they gave that answer because they themselves were in somewhat of a financial strain?
Probably. You know what? Probably, because if I was going through a bankruptcy, I wouldn't want you to leave me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, of course, I'm going to say that. And if you were going through that, I wouldn't leave you either. You know what I'm saying? First of all, we're married. It's no, just not leaving. But I think if it was something that was a problem that me and you were like, you know, I was saying, like, let's do this, let's save the money, let's focus on this, and you were making decisions by yourself on certain things, and then you got us in a financial hardship where you had to file bankruptcy, that might be different, because then it's more of communication and not being on the same wavelength of things. So, I mean, I actually don't find it odd that they stayed. I think I just find it odd that people get themselves in situations like that. I know some things are out of our control, but I'm sure maybe about 90% of those cases, they could have.
They were financially ignorant or irresponsible.
Yeah. So to answer our first topic, no, I don't think that you should bring financial baggage into it. I think it's something that you should talk about, maybe not on the first date, but if you're starting to seriously develop things. I mean, people talk about religion, people talk about
politics. Goals.
Yeah, people need to talk about finance. Finance needs to be the first one of the first big steps that you take when you're deciding to move forward with I shouldn't say potential candidate, but like somebody that is like you, you're serious with. I think that's what I think.
And ladies, I want to say this as a man. There's a difference between wanting to be in a relationship with somebody who has their shit together and being a gold digger. Those are two separate forms of dating, and I don't think that anyone should feel ashamed or embarrassed that they are worried about the financial side of dating somebody, because that is very, very important.
Yep.
I also think, baby, that maybe we should record. We're doing really good, but
we're not recording. But let's keep going. Our next one is establishing clear goals and boundaries. Who's responsible? Mm-hmm. So we kind of already talked about that already, about clear goals. If you're already talking about it in the beginning, then you should know what your goals are personally, and then together you guys should have some type of goals. But
I guess we talked about the dating aspect of goals, but let's talk about actually being in a relationship and establishing goals. Example being, I had a coworker tell me that her boyfriend, who is not in the best financial situation, went out and bought some rent-to-own rims for his truck. And so that would be an example of not establishing clear goals. Obviously, they were not on the same page. They did not. He felt as if he wanted some rims. And when you have money, of course, you do deserve to buy some things that you want. She felt that he didn't have the disposable funds to waste on rims, and that she would much rather have had him contribute to some bills or, groceries or something that they needed around the house. So I think that that's a different aspect of establishing clear goals. Is what do you guys want to accomplish together? What do you think?
I agree. But I also think that kind of goes into budgeting as well, because if you are budgeting, then, I mean, you need a clear goal. Hey, this is what we're trying to do. But just because you say you're trying to do something, it's just like, you got to have a plan, you know? So your plan is going to include budgeting, which is what we're going to talk about next. But I feel like if they were going to buy the rooms, if that wasn't a part, hey, if that wasn't helping them get to the goal, but then how do you know what's going to help you get to the goal? I think that's just as important as saying this is what we're working on. You need to have a plan. Goals are nothing without a plan. So I think it was a miscommunication thing. First of all, I think communication is the number one thing, like everybody says. Yes. Marriages agree. Actually, we got the best communication.
Of course.
We actually started talking on Facebook. Okay? He was all of my dear. and you know what? It was started off as long distance, but I think that is the best thing that we could have ever did.
Definitely.
Because we started off with nothing but communication.
Right.
Period.
Friendship. Pure friendship. There was no other choice. Obviously, I'm a man. If I, had my way, there would have been some sort of physical relationship as well. But of course.
Okay.
But being that we were in a situation where that wasn't even possible, the fact that we kept communicating with each other over an extended period of time spoke to the kind of bond that we were actually building. And we knew for a fact that it didn't have anything to do with physicality.
And we always talked about everything. And even when we would get into it, we didn't have nothing to do but communicate. So I think it was natural for us to revert back to that. Like, okay, let's sit down and let's talk about that. So really talking about some of the goals, let's talk about some, like, our first goals. Like, goals were buying a house, right? That was a goal. Like, I was dead set on buying this house. Couldn't nobody tell me nothing. That's all I moved down to Houston for, was to buy a house. And I was doing everything but buying a house. So we discussed it, right? I had a discussion with you that I wanted to buy a house. I was talking about what type of house I wanted. And then we started getting, obviously, into the specifics of all of that. But we both agreed that we were going to buy this house.
Definitely.
So we knew that it was going to take some financial, a couple setbacks of not spending as much as we usually do when we go out, not going out as much, cooking every day, losing a couple of friends because they wanted to kick it every day. People that didn't understand that, you know, I was busy, because we have our own home life as well too. Because, like, just because you have financial goals, your life doesn't stop, and you kind of have to adjust, I guess, to what it is that you normally do. And it plays a big role in different relationships. Like, if we were on the same page and we didn't already have that goal, it'd be like, you know, damn, she changed. It's kind of like you changed. We have to change the mindset.
I think also with that goes the fact that you don't have to necessarily stop everything you're doing if you can modify it correctly. You know, instead of going cold turkey on going out, hey, you know, start paying attention to how many times a month you do go out and cut it in half. It's inevitable that you're going to save money if you do that. Start paying attention to how many times you do eat at home or cook a week, and, you know, cook at home more because that's cheaper. It's all about compromising as well, because you can't completely change who you are. If you like to drink or if you like to smoke, that's what you like to do. But you can modify that and do it a little less if that's going to help you achieve the goal.
I think we should break it down a step. Let's talk about how to even set a goal, how to make a goal. I mean, I definitely think we need to add that to the list, talking about how to buy a house, because that was a journey.
Yes, it was. It was a good journey, though. Something that I definitely enjoy looking back at.
Not going through it. It's stressful. Stressful, stressful, stressful. But how to make a goal? Like, how do you know it's a good goal? Mm-hmm. Do you have to know? Or, like, can I just be like, hey, I mean, realistic goals, I think that's what we should talk about. No one's going to be like, I want to go buy a pony. But, like, if it's like, I want to buy a house.
The Unicorn Store.
I like that movie a little bit. But, I mean, okay, like, want to buy a house. I think even if you were just filed bankruptcy, want to buy a house, it might seem like kind of far off for you, but that's not like an unrealistic goal. You can buy a house. I think we need to talk about establishing, short-term goals and long-term goals.
Right.
Like, sometimes I was talking about buying a house when I knew there was no way I could buy one. I didn't even make enough money to buy a house. I didn't have the financial stability, the financial common sense. So I think when it comes to making goals, we have to really zero in on the short-term goals. Like,
right. You set the long-term goals, and then you break that down into a series of short-term goals.
So how do you do it together?
So let's see. What was our process? We established the fact that we wanted to buy a house. Mm-hmm. So that's the long-term goal. We realized that if we wanted to do that, that we needed more money or more disposable funds. So we set up a budget. I'll never forget that. The way we did it, we came up with amounts that, well, first we tracked, you know, we looked at how much we bring in, period. And then we came up with amounts that we felt would be sufficient for the things that we like to do, like a certain amount, you know, of money for liquor, a certain amount of money for going out to eat, a certain amount of money, you know, for other stuff, whatever it is that we have going on.
And of course, that's hard.
Bills and things like that. Where I noticed the most difference, because the bills don't change. Those are going to be the same or near the same every month. But what I noticed is that we went way over the amounts that we thought were necessary for stuff like going out to eat. Like, I think the monthly budget we set to go out to eat, I think in a week or a week and a half, we had reached that amount. And you don't realize without writing it down and actually looking at it and deciding what you think is a good number, and then seeing what you actually do on a regular basis, without that comparison, I don't think you'll have the motivation to actually buckle down
and do it.
Yeah.
I think it really, that is super hard. That was super hard for me. I like to go out to eat. Mm-hmm. I do cook. Don't get me wrong. I cook a lot, actually.
Yes, you do.
I like to go out to eat, and I like to be, you know, I don't care about being around people all the time. I just like to go out to eat. I mean, we live in Houston. It's a bunch of
food. So many good restaurants.
I think.
Imagine the self-control that took.
Boundaries. And that's what we're just about to jump into. Boundaries. Mm-hmm. We had to talk about who's responsible, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I was irresponsible when it came to going out to eat. Like, when it came to going out to eat, I was irresponsible. I had to put, who's gonna, hold each other? We had to hold each other accountable for things. Who was in charge of paying for what? I was pretty much like the checks and balances at the end of the month. Like, okay, look, we went over this. We went over here. We didn't spend as much money in this category. Let's throw this at some bills. And when we start really getting into credit, I want to show you guys the method that I use, because it works. I mean, I have researched it day in, day out. I'll go to sleep thinking about credit, waking up thinking about credit.
See the truth.
We are going to get into that.
Maybe the truth with that credit.
Yeah, I'm going to put it up on the wall. It's like an envelope. We're going to talk about this. So we're talking about budgeting. Let's jump right into budgeting. I had the budgeting system where we used the envelopes, because everybody can read about credit and everybody thinks they know about credit. But when it actually comes down to budgeting and saying, I only got this much to spend on this, that is hard.
Talk about the school of hard knocks.
So that envelope thing really helped me out. I don't even have cash. I always swipe my card for everything. And I realized how easy it is to swipe your card for everything because you're so used to it. So I would pay, all the bills would come out, auto pay. It would come out auto pay, so that I know whatever didn't come out, that was the money I had to spend. And I would set up envelopes with the amount of money, first with bills, because we were trying to buy a house. So I would, instead of spending $80 that I had for the liquor, I would put it into a bill envelope, because if you can tackle certain bills or debts off first, then you're helping your credit.
Right. Start with the biggest first and work down to the small one. An extra tip that I want to make sure I get in, I don't know if it'll ever come up again, but I'll probably say this more than a few times throughout the duration of our podcast career. But keep the change transfer is a good, subtle way to add more to your savings. It's basically where, out of every dollar, let's say you spend 75 cents, it will round up to the nearest dollar. So you spend 75 cents and 25 cents will automatically go into your savings account. I think that's a really good way to save without even realizing any of the hassle or anything like that, because we not too many people still spend a lot of cash, and we all use our credit cards or our debit cards. And so you should definitely look into that, see if your bank has that available for your debit card. You'd be surprised how much that little bit adds up.
Now, to bring it all together, because the title of this, let me read, it was talking about how to fix your credit and spruce up your love life at the same time. So without going on a tangent anymore about how to not bring financial baggage in, how to establish clear goals and boundaries, how to create a budget, different methods to do that, to do it with your partner. Because, right, we're fixing credit and improving our love life at the same time. So with the budget thing, you guys can do it together. Pull the money in together. If you already are making a budget, you should know how much each person should make. And if you already set those clear goals and establish those boundaries about who's responsible for stuff, then you know who's in charge of what. Then that envelope system really works for you because it works.
And as a partner, be dependable. Because with that being said, knowing how much each one individually brings in and certain people being responsible for certain things, be dependable. Make sure that you hold up your end of the bargain. Whatever it is that you're expected to do by your partner, make sure you do that. And also your partner should make sure that they're due theirs. That's the only way that it will work as a team.
Need to like help our credit with a lot of things, because I guess it just depends on what's going on with your credit. If people have different things to help. Some have debt on there, some not long enough credit history and so forth. But depending on what's wrong with it, you can still go out and have fun with your partner at the same time building your credit. So if I knew that we had a lot of credit card debt and I was trying to get it under a certain utilization percentage, then obviously I wouldn't use my credit card, but I would use money that I got for like, cash advance, or what is it? The cash advance points that we get when you swipe your card at a certain point. I would use that money. So essentially it was like free money that we were using to go out. I was still making sure that I wasn't taking away from anything else, but I was allowing us to do the things that I wanted to do. I wanted to go out to eat. So it was making sacrifices. You can still do it at the same time. I can't wait to do that episode because I know all type of ways that you can improve your credit at the same time. But it probably does require a little bit more extra detail in how to do it, because certain things you have to like sign up for. And I want to get into like different reviews about certain companies and stuff. So I won't go into that, but,
all right. Well, I think it is time for us to wrap up our first episode of the Romance and Finance Podcast. Where can our listeners connect with you at?
They can find me on Facebook at Love Mia. I have my own page there. On Instagram at @you_lovemia. Of course, you can contact us both at Romance Finance Podcast on Instagram. Actually, I prefer you to contact me there because I really want to know what you guys think. Any questions that you guys might have. Snapchat, Love Mia 92. Okay.
And mine. Okay. Mine, my Instagram is @IAM_MrBradford, Facebook.com/IAMMrBradford, and always at @romance_finance_podcast on Instagram as well. I hope you guys enjoyed our first episode. Thank you for bearing with us through this first one. We promise to get better and better each week and provide more substance each week. So I hope you guys continue listening to us every Monday. We'll be dropping a new episode, and we hope to see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.